and we're on.
Right. Okay, good. Right. I'm glad that we got.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is a collective bargaining session between the Board of Trustees bargaining team and the UFF bargaining team at the University of Central Florida. Today is Wednesday, December 14th, 2022. And we'd like to begin with the first thing on our agenda is to present the minutes from our last meeting on October 19th. Charlie, are you able to display those minutes?
You're muted, Charlie.
Charlie, you're muted.
All right, sorry. I was just looking for them anyway. It's the share was not showing it. There we are. All right, sharing.
Yeah, that's good. That also means that in the what we are presenting today is proposal number 3 for Article 22. I stand corrected. Yeah. Looks okay to me. Any comments, guys? And anybody from my team?
Looks good.
Looks good.
Okay, we will assume that those minutes are approved. One of the things that was mentioned in those minutes is that we've, at our previous two sessions, talked about ground rules. And Talat, right after our meeting last time, I sent you a revised draft, and you indicated by return email that those were good. So I just want to let these minutes for this meeting show that we've agreed on those ground rules. And I could tell a few minutes ago, even before we got started, you were already implementing them, looking to make sure that everybody's name was posted here. So we're in good shape, I think, on that. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I think we had this small thing that, you know, somebody was driving or something like that, but we then said we'll deal with those cases as they come.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. I think we're good. Yeah. And yeah. And before we go on, I did want to register that, you know, I know that Briannis is not here. And so that caused some confusion in terms of the our Zoom link. So we had the wrong link, and Robert had sent out the incorrect link. So he found out, I think, just a few minutes earlier. And so we have now sent it. So I think if the link changes, it would be a good idea to just send a notification.
I did.
Yeah.
I did send a notification to Robert. He might have missed it, though. So
I'm sorry. It was updated twice, because when the last notification I got, which was the first revision of the link, ultimately did not work. So I think altogether there were 3 links that were issued for this bargaining session.
Probably.
So I never got the last one, is the point we're
making
here.
All right.
Okay. Well,
We apologize if that's what happened and we got the wrong link sent out. Since we're now in a new mode, where Charlie will be the one sending out those links, I think we'll be clear now. There shouldn't be any additional confusion, but we apologize for any confusion.
You not be replaced.
We're glad everybody's here. That's the important thing. We wanted to get together this afternoon, and we're certainly able to do that. Okay, I think we've got our preliminaries out of the way. The next thing that we would like to address is our Article 23. The Board of Trustees team is very pleased to be able to share a proposal for Article 23 today. And I want to speak a little bit of the recent history that we've gone through. Remember last May, we had a couple of sessions where we were negotiating about a one-time payment that would take place in the summer. And the folks associated with the BOT team at that time had some decisions to make about whether we would ask you to agree not to open Article 23 this fall, because at that time, it was not clear that we would have recurring funds that would support a salary increase for this academic year. As we discussed that, the BOT team decided, no, even if there's a remote possibility that we're going to be able to offer a salary increase in the coming academic year, we want to keep that door open. And as we gather here today, I'm very pleased that we can say we are able to offer a salary proposal to you, one that we thought was very unlikely a few months ago. So we're excited that we're able to do that. I'm also glad that we decided not to ask you to keep 23 closed this year. We're glad it's open. Our team also, the BOT team, asked to cancel the last bargaining session that was scheduled on November 9th. And a lot when I communicated with you, the reason we want to do that is at that time, we couldn't make a substantive response to the proposals that you had shared with us. And in particular, we couldn't come up with a substantive response to Article 23. But in the intervening time since then, the university and our BOT team have a better understanding of our recurring and non-recurring funds availability, and that's why we're here today. So over the last month, as the Board of Trustees team worked on a proposal and that proposal began to take shape, there was time to reflect on really how important a salary proposal is to all parties. It's important to the administration. It's important to the faculty. We know it's important to our employees. And as we're contemplating that, we looked at the strategic plan. And UCF's new strategic plan, which included input from the faculty, calls for UCF to, quote, become an employer of choice by recruiting, retaining, and developing the best talent, unquote. So it's with that strategic, with that strategic plan in mind, the Board of Trustees, President Cartwright, and Provost Johnson want to do what they can to support UCF's in-unit employees. Certainly there are other worthwhile ways that they could have considered investing in the university as a whole, but they prefer to commit resources to our people by providing additional one-time and recurring money for UCF faculty. So that's a little bit of history. Some of that you didn't know was going on. You didn't know in May that we're thinking, oh my gosh, do we want to go and ask the UFF to forego negotiations on Article 23? And just from a very personal standpoint, I'm so glad the decision was made not to do that and that we're here today talking about Article 23. So just want to say that UFF's patience and understanding since negotiations began in September are appreciated. And with those comments out of the way, Charlie, I would ask that you help me present our proposal for the Board of Trustees for Article 23. There it is. Thank you, Charlie. First thing I'll point out is in the first section, 23.1 on promotion increases, that's status quo language. We're not proposing any changes to that particular section, nor are we recommending any changes for section 23.2. But in section 23.3, which goes from line 18 through line 85, we are proposing three things. We're proposing a one-time payment and a couple of other increases. Charlie, can you scroll up a little bit?
Is that what
I'll
you
start
meant?
With the...
Charlie, you're keeping us in suspense.
I don't understand.
Nothing is moving in the display.
Okay. I just got a note that says...
He's breaking up, I think, frozen.
Am I back?
You're back.
We can hear you and see you now.
It's, I got a message that said Zoom quit unexpectedly. I mean, when does it quit expectedly?
All right, there we go. That's better. Thank you, Charlie.
Where do you want it?
Why don't you get all the, just get me all blue stuff.
All
there
right.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect.
Let me just make it a little bit smaller. There you go. You got everything.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so the three things that are included in this proposal, one is a one-time payment for this academic year. As of today, we're asking that that be effective on January 6th and distributed on January 27th. The university would provide a one-time payment of $1,800 to each employee who was employed in the last academic year and has remained in, it remains today in an in-unit position at UCF. This includes contract and grant and auxiliary employees. When we had our negotiations in the spring and we talked about the one-time payment that took place in June, we discovered that we are able to make one-time payments to all employees, including auxiliary and contract and grants with the one-time payment. And we would do that again for employees who received an overall rating of satisfactory or above. They would be eligible for this one-time payment. That's ENG, CNG, and auxiliary. The second component that we have here that begins in line 27 is an across-the-board salary increase that also would be effective on January 6th and paid on January 27th. This is limited to ENG employees here. We'll talk about auxiliary and contract and grants in a later section. But each eligible ENG employee will receive a 1% increase to the salary. Based on 1% of the salary as of January 5th, 2023. Employees are eligible if they got a satisfactory or above on their annual evaluation, most recent annual evaluation, and they remain in an in-unit position here at UCF. We're also proposing a third component, which is a merit salary increase that would be effective March 3rd, 2023, and be paid for the first time on March 24th. And we're modeling this after how we have done merit salary increases in the past, that employees who get overall ratings of above satisfactory or outstanding would be eligible for these merit salary increases, but the same conditions, you know, they're UCF employees, they were here last year, they're still in an in-unit position at the time that this increase is, they're still in that position on January 5th, so we know what their salary is. They would get this increase, and the way this is done, there's this pool of money that goes to the unit, and the employees who have outstanding ratings get a 70% higher increase than those that earn a rating of above satisfactory. Those that get satisfactory and below are not eligible for the merit salary increases.
So just clarification, Chuck. So in for the merit, if it is outstanding, you get 2%?
Now, the way that, let's go to the next page and maybe I can clear this up a little bit. So, have to have an overall above satisfactory or outstanding on the most recent evaluation, and they're still in place at the date of implementation. The way this works is we look at the unit, look at their total salary of in-unit employees, and take 2% of that. The employees in that unit that get overall ratings of outstanding or above satisfactory share that 2% of the unit's overall pay. And basically, the way I think of this, they get points. If I get above satisfactory, I get 1 point. If I get outstanding, I get 1.7 points. And then we look at the total number of points, look at the salary that's available, divide by the number of points, and then each individual gets an increase based on their number of points. For the unit, it's a 2% increase. For some employees, it will be a little bit above 2%. And some that are not eligible would not get any merit salary increase. So this is something that we've certainly done as an institution in years past. It's been a while since we've had a merit salary increase. This is something that we haven't done in a while. But the board, the administration, and really the state of Florida is very interested in awarding outstanding performance. And we think that this is the way to do that, is to recognize the people that have gotten these better evaluations, which in reality is most of the faculty will be eligible. The vast majority of our faculty will be eligible for that merit increase. There's a big section that follows this, which is the language that we had last year when we negotiated the full book. So all that's coming out. All that would come out with what we're proposing here. And then, Charlie, thank you for coming to line 87. What we want to remind everybody is if contracts and grants employees or auxiliary employees are able to get these same increases, we want that will happen. If the money's available in the contracts and grants, if the auxiliary unit has the funds available to support that salary increase, that will happen. But because of the different colors of money that we're dealing with, we're not always able to use ENG funds to pay those increases for CNG and auxiliary employees. Charlie, can you go to line 107? There are a number of places in this article, and I don't want to try to count them, where we've added the word academic for clarity. We think it's important that our faculty employees understand what's in the collective bargaining agreement, and we hope that the people that have to receive questions from faculty employees about the collective bargaining agreement, about their eligibility for awards, we want these instructions to be clear. And by adding the word academic, we think it's this makes it clear, because that's how these awards work. They work on an academic year basis, and we're just trying to make sure that that's clearer as we go forward.
Yeah.
And Charlie, can you advance to line 192? This is something that we've offered before. We're gonna offer it again. With the employees who may be eligible for TIP and RIA, but they're in a very small unit, like the College of Undergraduate Studies, for example, those units are combined, and what we've found is sometimes the number of awards that's allocated for those combined groups of units, it seems kind of large given the number of employees that apply, the number of employees that turn out to be eligible for those awards. So what we're proposing is that two TIPs and two RIAs would be set aside for the folks in that combined unit, that combined college that's created. This doesn't change the total number of awards, doesn't change the total number of TIPs or RIAs, but the idea is we want to do a better job, if we can, of balancing the assigned duties of the people that get the awards with the awards themselves. The people that have the larger research assignments are the ones that we hope will end up competing successfully for the RIAs. And similarly, the people that are doing the bulk of the teaching, we hope that they will compete for those TIP awards as well. While it's on the screen, you can see in line 202 and 216, there are a couple of what appear to be random changes. And I got tired of looking at the hint from MS Word that a change was necessary. So I went ahead and just accepted what they recommended. So there's no change other than MS Word did not like my grammar.
Chuck, just a question. You mean in terms of the research?
Yes.
You didn't mean to put creative activity in there for
it? It wasn't there before. That's certainly something that we could.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's
I didn't
no change.
Scratch anything.
There's no change. I got it.
There's no change. The only comma.
Effectively, there's a comma inserted.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
Effectively, there's an Oxford comma.
Right.
Inserted.
But there's no change.
Okay.
Yeah.
The same thing is for the next one. So there's no change really.
And then Charlie, the next thing I'd like to look at is line 265. We had a problem with the without a capital. We needed to capitalize the word cumulative, so I just did that. So, mm-hmm. I mean that's just a correction. I'd like to look at line 280, please. Line 280. We are proposing that employees who have an FTE for service of 0.5 or above could be eligible for these excellence awards in professional service. What we're finding out right now is, as we leave it at 10%, which we don't think is unreasonable, what we're finding out is a lot of faculty have service assignments at 0.05 FTE. And regardless of how much service they may end up doing, they're ineligible because of how they were assigned. So we're just saying, let them all be eligible. If they have a service assignment of 0.05 and they're able to compete successfully for that Excellence in Professional Service Award, great. So this is an example where we're trying to make more of our employees eligible for this particular Excellence Award. Charlie, line 312, please.
So you change 0.1 to 0.05, is that right?
0.1 to 0.05, yes. Okay. You only have to do half as much service or be assigned half as much service as in years past.
Right.
To mirror the language that we had in section 23.4, we want to make sure that people understand that with CNG and auxiliary funded employees, they have the same rights to these administrative discretion increases, and that wasn't necessarily clear. So we want to make sure that is clear. And then on 324, Charlie, you know this part so much better than I do. Would you mind covering this for us?
Certainly. So the notification process currently is that when someone is to receive an ADI, before we can continue with the process, we need to provide notification to the UFF in advance. So what ends up happening is that the person's increase, as we work it through the pipeline, it gets delayed by 2 weeks in order to account for this processing. As it's no surprise to anyone, Workday has created a different flow pattern. And I think it's added a bit of time to the process. So they're asking units to get more and more lead time to ensure that the UFF gets that 14 days prior notice. The object of this notice is to give the UFF a chance to object before it goes into effect. So before you add money to someone's salary, and it's a permanent increase for an ADI, that you would give them that notification. So the UFF, I think I've been providing notifications to the UFF for about 10 years. And I cannot think of a time when the UFF kicked it back and said, no, you can't do this. And we're going to, you know, we'll grieve it if you do this or anything like that. And part of the grievance process is that the UFF has 30 days to provide a grievance. So what we were thinking is that as soon as the UFF receives notification, that would become the known or should have known date. So even if it's after the person has received the monies, the UFF could still implement a grievance within that moment when they learn of the increase. And so one, I had thought that perhaps we could continue sending emails, but we send them one at a time just because of the way the process goes. The UFF actually, like behind the scenes, we wanted to stay within the boundaries of the CBA, but also create it to make it easier for the UFF to receive these because they're receiving these emails one at a time. So what we have been able to do is we're able to share a spreadsheet. And when the action comes across my desk for notification, I can drop it in the spreadsheet and send a notification to the UFF. And this helps speed up the process enormously if we don't have to do this 14 days in advance. So what I was hoping that the UFF would agree to would be a sort of a 45-day swing on either side, knowing that they would be able to grieve the action from nowhere should have known. A lot of times we will receive a bulk of ADIs at once. And I think this will help the UFF enormously because all you'll have to do is cut and paste from the spreadsheet that we are now sharing. The BOT is also obligated to provide notification in advance of stipends. I also don't receive pushback on stipends typically. So that is going to be added to that same spreadsheet within that 45 days window. The notifications where the UFF has questioned has to do with people moving into non-unit. And that is in another article and it's being maintained just as it is, just keeping that 14-day window to give the UFF time to object. We don't wanna add something that is disadvantaging. What we're looking for is to speed up the process, give people their money quicker, and to make it easier for the UFF to receive the notifications. As part of this, you know, people can get their salary information now right away from Workday. So we don't want to slow up anything like that where they're sort of waiting for some sort of email from administration. It should be able to flow naturally now from their supervisors. So that's why there's a change to 324 and then for 23.8. And then Chuck, I'm sure we'll get to it, but stipends, since it's the same spreadsheet that the UFF and the BOT will share, it'll be on that information that the UFF requires will be on that same spreadsheet. And I think that hits everything. If I've forgotten anything, I have discussed this a bit with Robert, just because we needed to coordinate on sharing a spreadsheet to try the system out. So Robert, feel free to kick in if you have anything that I've missed.
So Charlie, why 45 days?
Only because I wanted to make sure that we were saying something like we would do it the first of the month or the last of the month. And that seemed like if you have, you're able, Robert and I have found that when we share the spreadsheet, we're able to see it at any time. So I was thinking I could give him notice, you know, on the first of the month or, you know, at the end of the month or something along that lines. 45 days gives us a lot of swing and it's a proposal. You know, we're looking for feedback in either way, but essentially he would know in real time when things are happening. He wouldn't have to wait a day, really, if he wanted to just look at the spreadsheet. But when I send him the notification is when that happens. Does that make sense?
And if I may, I'll chime in a little bit. When we were talking about this, the 45 days came up because the first suggestion was 30 days. But then some months are 31 days. So it's not exactly on a regular cycle. Then you start saying, well, we'll do it the first of the month. Well, sometimes the first of the month, as in will happen in January, is on a Sunday. So we're on a weekend day. So 45 days, we thought it'll take care of that. It's simple. Our expectation is when these things come in, we're going to update the spreadsheet pretty quickly. It's not that we're going to sit on anything for 45 days and wait. It was a number that was big enough that kind of allowed for all possibilities of weekends and different lengths of months.
We were suggesting that we might send it at the beginning of every semester, but 45 days seemed fair enough that you know, a more frequent reminder for the UFF to check the spreadsheet. It is a process that can be updated as well. So I think right now it seems to be working very smoothly, actually better than I expected. So in any case, that's the proposal.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Charlie, thank you for covering that. And you did so well with the administrative salary stipends. I don't think I have to repeat what you said. So this is our proposal for Article 23.
Chuck, you said you were going to explain about auxiliaries because you said that the salary, the merit increase did not applied only to ENG. And that.
Correct.
And what is it for auxiliary and others?
Well, for example, someone who's in an auxiliary unit, if the unit is able to fund the increase, they will. We don't know of any units that cannot do that at this time. Contracts and grants, it depends on whether the contractor grant allows for that increase.
But your proposal here does not include them at all. It doesn't say that. I thought the proposal said specifically, but we'll have to look at all the details and then we can ask. But I thought the proposal did not mention.
Well, for the one-time payment, we are saying that will cover
yes.
contract and grant and auxiliary.
Right.
But for continuing dollars, for recurring expenses, we can't commit to fund those contracts and grants and auxiliary units on a continuing basis.
So the difference is that we can't use ENG funds to add to an auxiliary funded person. That has to come from their contractor grant, unless it's a one-time payment, which we're able to extend to all the units equally without digging into a grant.
Yeah, but before the language was such that it did not, it included them. There was always the case that, you know, particularly CNG, that if there are no funds, then they cannot get it. That's, but right now, it
does. That's what this does. 23.4 is what does that all by itself. This line here
uh-huh.
is what enables them to get that salary increase.
Oh, equivalent to that. I see.
Equivalent
I
to.
See.
So
I see.
It's all by itself. And that's why okay. we want to make sure that it's clear that CNG and auxiliary kind of grab from here what mm-hmm. they can. And the university makes every effort to make sure that they can participate in the okay. bottom ones. But we can't okay. guarantee anything. We can guarantee the one-time payment can go to them,
sure.
if that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand. Okay.
And Talat, that section 23.4, excuse me, is status quo. There's no right. changes okay. to that language.
So one that I'm puzzled with is that why this across the board, I mean, the 1%, why so low?
The reason is we're trying to emphasize merit increases. The emphasis is on merit increases. You know, the board, the university administration feels very strongly that we need to reward people on the basis of merit. And we've done that in the past. People have asked about merit raises. We haven't been able to do them. Here okay. we are. We're doing them.
But if we do it, if we combine the two, it is still 3%. I mean, the most that someone would get would be 3.2 or something like that, right? And then others would get less than that because The total amount is 3%.
Correct. The total is,
actually, yeah. Total amount is little less than, a little less than 3. But so my question is that, you know, with revenues that are available, this is a number. It should be a tangible number, right? It should be based on what resources are there. And so given resources, at least we were hoping that the number would be not 3, it would be more than that.
Also note that it appears the merit raise is scheduled for late March, when the spring semester is almost over.
Correct. That's when we think it can be implemented. That's, that would not be simple to do. It would be virtually impossible to do in January. But we think we can do it in March and make that happen. A lot of work has taken place over the last couple of weeks to try to ensure that we get all the evaluations of the faculty so that it's even possible to do this. And there's some work that has to be done in order to work out this procedure for distributing that 2% that's for merit.
So, and that is based on evaluation from last year or for
the last evaluation that the faculty have, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I mean, we'll have to go over it. Jack, thanks for sharing it with us. I think, you know, we will look into the different points there and then come back.
All right, excellent. One final thing that I'll say about that proposal. A year ago, when we reached agreement on our full book, there was a 2.5% increase for faculty and a one-time payment. The 2.5% was across the board. It was different. There was no merit component.
Mm-hmm.
But this time we're looking at an average salary increase of 3%. So it's actually a higher average salary increase, but it would be distributed differently, as you pointed out, Talat.
Yeah. There's
no question about that. And in addition, there's a one-time payment that we're proposing.
We have something to talk about, Chuck. And so thank you for presenting this. I think we will take a look and then come back to you.
Okay.
I think we have to do that relatively soon, though.
We're hoping so. We'd like to make that January 6th.
Right. And so what kind of window does that, today's the 14th of December.
Today's the 14th of December. You know, one of the things that we may have to talk about before we finish up this afternoon is if we want to schedule another session before our break.
Yeah. Okay.
That's something that we would be open to doing. You know, we'd be happy to settle everything today if you'd like. We'd be happy to do that. But if we need more time,
I think we
can schedule another session before we break.
We would need today is the 14th. We would need to caucus. We would need, I think, you know, if we, what I would suggest is that we meet, is the 20th of December okay to meet? Does that give us enough time?
Well, if that's the soonest we can do it, we'll try to make that happen. We'll have to look at our schedules. I think I can make it. I don't know about the team. That's something we can look at in a caucus.
Okay.
Why don't we look at our schedules?
Okay.
If we're talking, that's a Tuesday, Talat. Wednesday would be the 21st, I believe.
Wednesday, the university's closed.
Oh, so that's why you're saying Tuesday. Got it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I was pushing for that. Yeah.
Talat, if it's okay, we could present our 22.
Sure.
Charlie, can you put up Article 22?
Hold on, just give me one second. I was getting all the stuff ready to send to Talat for a caucus. All right, hold on just a second. And this is Article 22, BOT 3.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Charlie. As we look at this article, it's a lot of, I want to thank you. There was some places where basically I think we've agreed, and I've tried to highlight those in this blue or turquoise or whatever color it is.
Mm-hmm.
There were some places where we'd had agreement before that are still highlighted in yellow like they were on our proposal too. But as I think back on this, I think there's a lot more that I could have highlighted in turquoise than I did. So I think there's more agreement here than there may appear. There's some things that I know we'll still need to talk about. But you can see I've used that highlighting, the turquoise highlighting, to indicate where we've agreed based on your proposal two for this article and where we are. We're good with that. I'm also in line eight, adopting a suggestion that you made that we make this statement mirror what happens in the professional development section as well. So we like that idea. On line 18, and again, many places throughout this article, we're suggesting that we add the word academic for clarity. Again, I think it's confusing for our employees. And there are a lot of calls that Faculty Excellence gets about sabbaticals, about professional development programs. And hopefully this would clear things up for everybody. On lines 28 through 35, I think what I did is adopted the suggested year changes that were in your proposal, but I failed to highlight them in turquoise. So I apologize for that, but I think they should be highlighted. But and the intention was to use the examples that you had suggested to us in your last proposal. On line 37, again, another opportunity for clarification, just want to make sure that folks understand that they need to be tenured. Point three applies if they're tenured. Our goal is to try to make this article, the entire collective bargaining agreement, as clear for our employees and everybody else as we possibly can. And then on line 40, you had suggested last time in your second proposal for this article that we change the professional development lead to professional development program. We had some other name that we'd come up with. It was a lot longer and more cumbersome. So we like this one better, the professional development program. And we would refer to people who are supposed to be on a professional development program. They have a professional development program appointment is what they would have. And we indicate in here it's formally called professional development leave. In line 47, it's a reminder, we've seen this before, that that's one of the few places in this article where we're comfortable with the word leave. There were so many places that it appeared where it's really not a leave per se. And then Charlie, line 79, please. And this is, again, this is another place where we inserted this word academic. You can see it on line 90. On line 82, we're adding a modifier to employee to making people understand that's a tenured employee that we're talking about there on line 82. On line 97, we've already had language that says, you know, if someone wants to modify the terms of their sabbatical, they need to notify people that they intend to do that. And it seems that there's some cases where people are wanting to cancel a sabbatical or postpone it and not telling anybody. They just show up for work. Hey, I'm here. I decided not to do that. So this is a very important thing for the units. They need to know if somebody's not going away, we're not going to hire adjuncts to cover courses that they would normally teach. We're not going to hire perhaps a visiting faculty member to cover those courses. So it's just clarity to make sure people understand if anything's going to change, please communicate those changes with us. And then Charlie, next thing is on line 129. This is another thing that we hope will clarify things for everybody, and in particular for our employees. Paragraph 8 talks about how it's okay to supplement support on a sabbatical from outside sources. And there's a number of examples that are provided here. Sometimes we get a question, well, I don't have full salary on my sabbatical. I want to teach a class and I want to get paid. And we're saying, though, that defeats the purpose of the entire experience. So what we're saying here now is no additional compensation from UCF E&G sources is allowable. If somebody wants to supplement a sabbatical, say a two-semester sabbatical where they're getting 0.75 of their salary, they've got a funded research project that would pay the other 0.25. That's been done a lot. That's okay. That's not an E&G source. That's a C&G source of funds. So the only thing that would not be allowable here is E&G. And lines 136 and 137, I'm basically adopting again language that the UFF had proposed last time. I think that's pretty much identical to what you had. That's one of the reasons that I remembered to use that shading. We have not changed our proposal here on line 40. We're still proposing that the professional development program appointments would only be for one semester. And a reason that we think that that's a very reasonable thing to do is many of the people that are eligible, particularly instructors and lecturers that may be eligible for professional development program appointments, they may be teaching four courses a semester and they have to be replaced in those four courses. That's about the same as what a unit has to replace if someone's on a sabbatical, if a tenure track faculty member's on sabbatical for two semesters. So we think that in terms of the cost to the unit, the burden to the unit, at least the burden when it comes to covering courses, that one semester for the PDP is very, very similar to the two semesters for a sabbatical. So that is still in there. From lines 133 to 262, it looks like there's a whole bunch of red lines. A lot of these, I think, should have been highlighted in turquoise, and I didn't do it. We're just agreeing with your suggestion from last time that we call these things professional development program. On line 153, that word six, that's something that we'd agreed to before. There was a problem with the language. It said fifth before, it needs to be sixth. And then Charlie, line 264, please. And we're adding the same sentence that we added to the end of the sabbaticals to the end of the PDP section. No additional compensation from UCF E&G sources is allowable. There's still the possibility that someone's on a PDP could be getting some supplemental support from outside sources for their professional development appointment, but there would not be an opportunity to use UCF E&G sources as a supplement. And again, all this other red that we kind of scrolled through very quickly, I believe almost all, if not all of it, is exactly what you had suggested to us. Let's call these PDP instead of PDL as we had previously. And we took out all the language we had for the whatever the ADPR, whatever we'd called it before. So that is what we propose to you for Article 22.
So, Chuck, so there's no substantial change in this one from your previous one, right? I mean, basically, you've taken into account all the points that we agreed on. And so maybe that's just as well, because we can now go over to what we have to present. And then
then
I think, we'll talk about that, because, we have one major difference. And that is the two semester PDP. We're calling them PDP now and not PDL. So that's the, of course, our proposal has several other items. And I think what we are going to do here is, again, we will, I think what I should do is just, express let you know why we are presenting this, because one thing we realized is this pre-tenure research semester that came about. So that was one thing, and we wanted to bring that up, and basically we made a small change in there, and this is because before we were really not precise, and there were numbers like one out of every five and so on. So we basically wanted to make it much more equitable. And it was that one semester entirely dedicated to research shall be available to every tenure earning employee during their first 5 years of employment. So that's all we wanted to say. And this pre-tenure research semester for one, and it is only for one semester, would be at full pay. So that's the statement we are making now. And this way, any employee, any tenure earning employee, and it can be anywhere in the before they come up for tenure, that they be given the opportunity. This is something that a number of universities do. And I think it just provides the individual a concentrated effort at enhancing their package for tenure. So that was the main thing that we wanted to do. And of course, it has to be then looked at as to how it will all be executed. What we came up with here, and it is something a little bit complicated. So, we will definitely be meeting on it again. But what we thought, since one of our main goals is to save or to keep, I know the status quo, if we went with status quo, that is PDP gives the opportunity to individuals to get two semesters at 75% of their salary, right? We recognize that most people are actually looking at one semester because that's with full pay. But there are individuals, and typically when they're looking for two semesters, these are usually individuals who are really, you really want to do something that's pretty big. And that, either whether it is research, whether it is writing a book, whether it is doing something that again, takes them one notch further in their career. And that is why they're looking for two semesters, because, in doing so, they're actually surviving on 75% of their salary, unless they get funds from somewhere else, which and several people may not be able to do that. So what we thought is that if we made everything parallel to how sabbaticals are allocated, then maybe this would not be a problem from your end, because what we recognized when we were talking about it, you mentioned that one of the problem with PDPs is that the director of the unit or the chair of the department has no say in what happens when they apply and the committee approves it, and then that's it. And that is not how sabbaticals work. In sabbaticals, the chair has a say. I mean, there, you know, you've been awarded a sabbatical. You will take it, but there is some room there, whether you should take it right away or a little later, a semester later or a year later, depending on how you work it out with your chair. So if we constructed the selection process for the PTPs the same way that we do for sabbaticals, then maybe the objection that you are thinking about that will not be there. And the reason, again, I think that, you know, we're talking about very few people who are really going for this, but we don't want to take this privilege away from them because it is really good for the university. It's really good for the university when, you know, their employees go and do something that is really remarkable, that, you know, puts them a notch above where they used to be, and that takes the university a notch above. So that's why it sounds a bit complicated here. And thank you very much for sending us the numbers of sabbatical professional development program applications and so on. So what we saw that we could actually group the people into four groups because it seemed like one college you had a good number of them, then another college had a substantial number but not enough to be a group, and maybe a smaller entity could be added to that. But we were looking at that, and there are various ways, and we can sit down together, talk about it, or you can take a look. But we thought that if we group them together, and some grouping is on the screen here, and again, we recognize that, the more committees you create, people have, of course, to spend time in those committees. But on the other hand, that's true for everything, right? So this is no different. And so what we think is that there should be some measure by which there's representation. Of course, if a unit is very small, then, you know, we will have to think about how that gets represented. So there's something to be worked out, but if we had it this way, it actually gives it a lot of structure, and it also then allows the units and their directors and chairs and so on to have play a role in it. And essentially the bottom line in all of this, and I will say this over and over again, is not to give somebody a break from teaching or a break from research. The whole thing is to give the employee or the bargaining unit member in this case, the opportunity to do something that actually does good for their career, good for their research, good for their scholarly activities. And in that sense, it actually enhances that of their division and of the university. So if that were not the case, I don't think we would be fighting for, all these little details. So I think what I wanted to make clear is that I will not go through every line here because it's going to be confusing, except that if you look at the screen and if you see what we are saying is that let's have not university-wide committees that do not really know what the needs of the units are, but rather break up the university into four groups and then have representatives from the units that belong to those groups there, who then decide on who should be given sabbaticals, so as a PDP. So work out the sabbatical scheme similar to that, the PDP scheme, similar to the way we operate sabbatical. And that way, chairs and directors and deans will also have a say in the matter, and will at least know what's going on and how it will affect their unit if somebody goes on PDP. So it's a bit of a complex proposal that we are making, but if I want to summarize it, then it is basically, we're trying to find two totally parallel ways that operate in very similar mode. And that's important because we don't want people to think that they are, you know, people who are on a tenure earning or tenure line and non-tenure earning lines to be treated as different classes of citizen, because they both are doing the same job for the university. And I should mention that a large number of our non-tenure earning faculty employees are actually engaged in just as important scholarly activities. I'm impressed to see colleagues who are lecturers, who are writing books, who are doing everything that, or doing research, publishing, and, you know, training students just as much as tenure earning or tenured faculty are. So because of that, we think that the two groups should be treated on similar, on not exactly the same, not equal, but very similar way. So that's why we thought that we would clarify some points about the research semester and then give you an opportunity to look at what we are proposing here and then see if that addresses your concerns. And then we can talk more about it later.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. I think the comments that you've included in these documents, that'll be very helpful if you share that with us.
Yeah,
with the comments, that'll be great. Thank you.
We'll send this to you right away. And actually, Claudia, if you want to send it, please go ahead. And since I'm talking.
You want me to send the this proposal?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Will do.
Thanks. And so I think that's all that we have right now. We've got quite a bit to talk about. Now the question is, should we go into caucus or should we, how should we proceed?
Well, that's a good question. I'd like to ask one follow-up if I could on 22. Mm-hmm. If I understand it correctly, you're telling us that there are two changes from your last proposal that were made. One is a different way of expressing the pre-tenure research semester, and then the proposed committee structure for the PDP program. Is that it?
Okay. That's all. That's all there is.
Thank you for clarifying.
And again, because you mentioned about the that you know, a number of units are already giving people a research semester. We felt that those units were not giving it, they would also benefit if there was a uniform policy university wide.
So yeah, we will take a look at that.
Okay.
We've used up about half of our allotted time for today. I think I will go out on a limb and speak for our team. And yeah. Say, you know, we're certainly willing to caucus and try to get back together, see if there are any questions that you have for us. We can also sort of look at our own schedules and see when we might be available. We kind of think, because of the notice that we have to give about meetings, that Monday and Tuesday are probably the only 2 days that we could do it. And
I would appreciate it if we don't do it Monday, because that's the only day when I'm in the air, and maybe I could. I'm flying back from Germany on Monday.
Let's do a caucus check in. And what we'll do is we'll pause the recording and we'll give it. Can we do 10 minutes so that we're?
Yeah, that would be fine.
Back at, well, let's just say we're back at 2:45. All right.
That would be fine.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you all then.
Are you guys leaving and we're staying here?
We're leaving.
Oh, okay. You can go to a breakout room just so you can feel extra, you know, because somebody's got to stay in this room. So Andrew is going to stay in the room and do the recording stuff for and us we, all.
Okay. I can, since I'm co-host, I can assign
a breakout room?
A breakout room right now.
All right. Or Andrew, feel free to speak up if you've got something already set up.
We're recording. Okay. Well, Chuck, you know, thank you for presenting both articles to us. There's a lot to talk about and think about. The first comment that, you know, again, we had a group of people there. And so the first comment is that we are just, while we're glad that you have something on the table. So that's the good news. The bad news is that we were hoping to get more. And particularly because of everything that we've gone through, inflation, hard times, all of that. So you know, 1% and then 2%. So people getting at the most 3%, and then some people only 1%. That is not even cost of living increase. So that's why we are dismayed. And now the question that we have for you is that, we need to meet in any case, and we would like to propose that we meet on Tuesday, the 20th, if that works for you all. The question is, could we break this, the offer that you have, into two parts? One is the one-time payment, which as you wanted to get that started in January, because that will then make up for the time that we have right between now and January. And so could we do that and then look at the others, or would that work for you all?
Well, I think we have to look at this as a package. And truthfully, I'm going to remind you of things that we've talked about at previous bargaining sessions. To implement any increase or any one-time payment, we have to come to agreement on Articles 22 and 23.
Yeah.
It isn't just 23. And we have to come to, you know, complete agreement on those. The Board of Trustees is going to expect that we're done when we we bring something before them. So we really, I don't know that we can piece this apart. And, you know, we're going to have to look at this as a whole, and not just Article 23 as a whole, but Article 23 and 22, that we're going to have to come to some agreement on that. And we would be willing to meet on Tuesday to do the very best we can on 23 and 22 and hopefully come to agreement. But one of the things that I'm going to have to do between now and then is talk to HR. I don't know that I can keep the same effective dates,
okay,
and pay dates in there as we slide this. We knew coming in today that the dates that had been suggested to us were extremely tight, with the university shutting down after the 20th, nobody's gonna be here. We'd be going right up against that 20th. You know, people aren't gonna be paying any attention until we get back on January 3rd. So
it
may be that even if we schedule another meeting, even if we did it tomorrow, which we can't, we don't have time to do sufficient notice, but even if we delayed until tomorrow and reached agreement, I'm not sure that those same dates would apply. So I want to be on record saying right now that when we meet, if we meet on Tuesday, and I'm certainly hoping that we can, and that we can make some progress on Tuesday, when we talk about Article 23, the dates may have changed.
Sure. No, we understand. So Tuesday, should we do it to 1:30 so that people remember at least the time? I mean, I'm okay at any time.
Let me see if I can figure out.
How about the rest of my team? Is any time okay?
Tuesday is open for me.
Yeah, I can make it work.
It's open for me. 10 a.m., 1:30, whatever.
Should we do 1:30 so that...
Yep, that works.
Everyone remembers that?
Well, if we did it earlier...
Uh-huh.
It gives people who have to do things, you know, assuming we reach agreement and people have to begin to implement what we've agreed to. And we still have to talk about ratification and all that as well.
Could we do 9:30?
9:30 or 10? How about 10?
10 o'clock works for me.
That's fine.
Okay. Let's do 10 o'clock. Should we do Zoom?
Yes, we're willing to do Zoom. If that makes it convenient for everybody, we're happy to do
with that. Such a short time, I'm not sure what the availability of meeting space is anyway. Thank you for decreasing my burden by taking a Zoom.
Robert is not free at 9:30 or 10. When are you free, Robert? And
I'm booked up all morning, but if you all are confident you can do this without me, I don't have a problem.
Well, no, I don't want to do without you because you'll then blame us for...
No, that you know that will not happen.
are you available at noon?
I'm available. I'd be available anytime noon to the rest of the day.
Can we do noon?
Noon work for me.
I will be there.
Lot, are you bringing pizza?
To the Zoom?
Yeah. Zoom pizza.
You can have it delivered to Milligan Hall either way. No, noon is fine with me.
I didn't see Sarah all this while, but okay.
I just pop in occasionally.
So are we saying Tuesday at noon?
That is what we're saying.
Yeah. And Charlie, you're going to
stay Charlie?
I'm going to set up the Zoom meeting and post it so that it's posted for everyone. Okay.
And we'll send pizzas around.
Sounds good.
Okay. Noon on Tuesday. All right. So I think,
if I can, I'd like to say one other thing that there are colleges all across the university that are dealing with budget cuts right now, and something that I think we all need to keep in mind as we get ready for our meeting on Tuesday. Is that's the situation we're in. We're in a very tight financial situation. And hopefully we're able to provide our faculty with a salary increase. There's only so much money we can spend between those two articles combined. So I think we need to keep that in mind, that there's one budget. We don't have a budget for 23 and a budget for 22.
Okay.
There's one budget. So at our last session, when we met in October, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, because I wanted to report to the administration, the provost and the president's office, we asked, what's the most important thing? And what you said very loud and clear was, raises for the faculty, permanent raises for the faculty is what you said. And that's what we reported to those above us. And,
sure.
That's what we've reported to them. They're trying to say, we heard you, we're trying to do the best we can. And that's where we are. But I'm just gonna be honest. I just don't know how we can give raises, which are a stretch for the institution, and pay twice as much for sabbaticals and professional development programs as we're doing now. I don't see how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would encourage all of us to take a look at these proposals and how do we do something together that's really better for the university.
Sure.
We would like to get faculty more money as soon as we can.
Sure. No, we totally agree, Chuck, and I think we are working towards the same goal. And I think if we look at this more positively, I think we are not all that far apart. We are far apart, but we are not all that far apart, okay? So maybe what we can do between now and Tuesday for the 22, I think we made very clear that there's only one thing there that we are really pushing. And that is just to keep the status quo on the PDP, okay? So you take a look at that. The other is,
so I want to make sure that I understand what you're saying, that status quo on PDP is an option.
Yes. Okay.
That's helpful to know that as we plan ahead for
yes.
for Tuesday.
Yes.
in the context of the package deal that you just described, 22 and 23 together.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, so that would be the thing. The other would be...
So we're both proposing changes to 22. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying, that a fallback position that we both may want to consider...
Is status quo.
Yeah.
Status quo.
Except for the blue and yellow stuff we agreed to, right?
Yeah, and there are quite a bit of that.
Yeah.
And all of that. Yeah, no, that's fine. And I think we've made it so that it all makes sense. I totally agree with all the changes with academic and so on. So, you know, it makes it really clear to people. No, I think we've moved quite a ways forward there. And I think so status quo is an option. The other is that maybe you want to go and look and see how deep the pockets are, and maybe you can come up with a little bit more. So
I'll take that as an assignment.
Or a lot more. Try a lot more.
I'll take that as an assignment also. I'll see what I can do.
Okay. So let's see what we can come up with from both sides and see where we are.
Okay.
But I think, you know, what we want collectively is the same thing. We want what is best for the university and for everyone who serves the university. Okay.
Okay. Anything else we need to talk about today?
Not that I can think of. Anybody? Is there anything that we...
I mean, we'll have to talk about, you know, going further if we're not finishing up on it, but let's just try.
Yeah, let's see what we can do. Okay, so
good.
We'll see everyone at noon on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
All right. Very good.
All right.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, take
great
care.
Great day. We'll see you on Tuesday.
I'll bring the eggnog.
Bye.
Yeah.